There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi guys, welcome to Mostly Lit. Before we start the show, we just wanted to make sure that you guys have got your tickets to the London Podcast Festival, where we will be there doing a live show on the 12th of September at 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, we're going to be at King's Place in London somewhere. So make sure that you like click in the link in bio and get your tickets and tell your friends and come through. And yeah, it's one not to miss. So make sure that you get your tickets.
Yeah.
Without further ado, let's get on with the show.
I'm Ray.
I'm Alex Reed.
Welcome back to another episode of
Mostly Lit.
Guys, and welcome back to another episode of Mostly Lit.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Just drinking your tea.
I'm drinking my coffee.
Oh, that smells good.
My coffee.
I want one. I haven't had one. This is why I might be a bit grumpy today.
Oh man, I feel like I've got an addiction.
So do I.
So I have to have one a day.
I have to have one in the morning.
Yeah, one in the morning.
Yeah.
And if I don't have one in the morning, I'm not grumpy or anything. I just feel sleepy.
Oh,
I don't feel like, you know what I mean? I don't feel grouchy. I just feel like, oh, it'd be nice just to have like a little coffee.
Yeah, I'm grouchy, definitely.
You know what I mean? It's nice though. Welcome back to another episode of Mostly Lit, guys. I hope you are all good. I know we've been away for a little bit, but life has been in the way of doing what it needs to do.
So, yeah. Ray's been having a great time.
Ray's been away. Ray's been away.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But anyway, yeah, so this episode is going to be quite a free-flowing one.
It's a catch-up episode.
It's a hey, we're back. What's going on? What are we reading? What we're writing? What we're doing?
Yeah.
Where we've been, what we've seen, all of that stuff. So
a bit of news here and there.
Yeah, a bit of news here and there.
Discussing the latest in literature, pop culture.
Yeah, and just chatting, really. Yeah. So how's everything been? Like Afro Nation, like what was it?
Oh
like?
My
what was that like?
God, it was a vibe, guys. Mm. It was, I think, one of the best trips I've taken, and it wasn't even like a bougie trip.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the standards had to be met, but it was so nice. Everyone was so happy. Like, obviously, and also, I was in VIP, and I'm literally like, money well spent because I could not do the other stuff.
Yeah.
The stand, I was like, VIP was amazing. Like, everybody who was in VIP was like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The food was great. Like, we went on a boat party, which was amazing. Met people who, like, you meet your friend on the road and you're like, oh my God, hey. It was so fun. Like, so fun. And I can't wait to Afro Nation Ghana because I really...
Oh, you're going to head out to Ghana?
Yes, I'm going to...
Is it in Accra?
Accra, yeah. So I'm like, but inshallah, by the grace of God, I just have to put it out there.
Yeah.
I'm so excited because this year I really want to go to Nigeria for that Christmas period because my friends always go and I'm always super jealous because I'm just here watching on Instagram while everyone's having fun and my FOMO is just hitting me up badly. So I was like, you know what, this year I have to go and visit, and then Boxing Day I'm going to fly out to Ghana to go on a wind collective trip.
Oh, okay. Shout out to the Wing Collective.
Amazing. Like, also, like, for me anyway, this year has, it was literally like, have to travel, have to see the world. I have to put myself out into the world. It was very important that that happened for me this year. And I went, now I've been on one Wind Collective trip to Miami for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a community Wind Collective trip to Marseille a few weeks back. And that was phenomenal. And I just trust them. Like, they have a really good team. Just beautiful people that go on it. It's always vibey. They always have a give back session, which I loved, about giving back to the community.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And at the end, everyone like sits around in a circle and they're like, you know what, so tell us about your highlights of this trip. And that always gets me so emotional because you just really reflect on your time.
Yeah.
So in Ghana, I think we'll be doing Afrochella, but I'm also like, low-key, I will have to get an Afro Nation ticket so I can go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that's it. That's really good.
So it's just like, yeah, Afro Nation's amazing. Came back and it's just been, finished my training contract.
Mm-hmm. Whoop, whoop. Yeah.
So I, from the 2nd of September, will be a qualified lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, don't chat to me.
Now you've been through some things, I keep saying.
Right? Like,
through some things.
From the 2nd of September, even now, like, obviously, I'm on a big, long break until I start my new job. So I'm leaving the wharf. I was in the wharf previously. Mm-hmm. Now leaving the wharf.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for my new job. It's just a beautiful time. And obviously, it's bank holiday weekend. It's carnival weekend.
Yeah, man. So, yeah. Anybody that says it's bank holiday weekend is an op. So
is it?
It's carnival weekend.
Carnival weekend.
It's carnival weekend.
Okay, sorry.
From the Friday to the Tuesday. Because that's when everybody tends to take the day off.
Yeah.
Because Sunday, Monday have been a mess. But yeah.
How about you? How have you been? Give us the lowdown.
Oh, man. Like, it's been a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing a book. So I'm putting a lot of time and effort and energy into that.
Yeah.
And with that, I'm writing a lot of treatments for visual stuff.
Ooh.
I'm literally just been like, I've been like hermetic. I've been like,
you have been a hermit.
I've been literally just in my room and in my house, just walking around in my do-rag, just like, look, I need to make sure that I've got all of this stuff, all my shit together. And because I don't like, you know, sometimes when you spiral in public, it's long. Sometimes you just got to spiral in private.
You always have to spiral in public.
You don't have to always spiral in public.
I think you have to.
No, you don't. I think it's not even that. It's not because, like, it's not even, in private. It's like, it's more like I need to be able to be clear with exactly what I want, need, know, and deserve, and kind of just have all those things around me, and then actually just take the time to do that. Slowly checking off things off my vision board, and reflecting on the past 8 months of this year.
Yo.
8 months of 12. All done.
How have those months been for you, though?
You know what? Like, entering into... because I went freelance at the beginning of the year, so I was kind of like just out of the traditional working pattern. It was a good eye opener, to figure out exactly what I like and do, and the kind of person I am, and what things I value and why I value them, and all of that stuff. It's been an amazing kind of like journey. Like, there's been ups and downs. There's been many tears. Yeah. There's been loads of laughs.
Yeah.
It's been intense. It's like, you forget. I remember reading an article by someone that was freelance, and they were like, you know, what it does to your mental health and how you need to manage it. And I remember reading it while I was working full time, and I used to be like, I don't know. I will never know that until I experience it. And literally, when you are just freelancing, or most of your circle are working full time and everybody's busy, it's very tough. It's very tough, especially when you know that that's all you have to do. Like, your working week can be 2 hours. Mm. It can be 24. It can be, you know what I mean? You can be up late worrying about things, money. People don't pay freelancers quick enough.
Yeah.
They don't. And you know, it just made me very sensitive to kind of like thinking about that. Just like, look, like I was thinking if I had to pay rent, like this would have been a very, very tricky situation that I would have been in, like just like for a lot of the time. Thankfully, I don't have to pay like that much.
Yeah.
So I'm a bit like, oh. But obviously, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I wouldn't change these 8 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, you know, you have to look at it.
Steep learning curve.
Yeah, you have to look at it and think like, rah, like what have I learned about myself and what am I doing?
But 2019, I think, has been, for me anyway, amazing. But not just amazing because I've had such a great time, but also amazing because I've also learned so much about myself. And I think through trials and tribulations, you just, and if you like commit to working hard, commit to having your own back and committing to forgiving yourself for your mistakes or having hope for the future. I remember talking to my friend and I think the one thing that I didn't have at the beginning of the year is hope.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hope and the clear-mindedness that things will work out. And now I'm always like, it's going to be fine because things will always work out in the end.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't or if it hasn't, then it's not the end.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, and this is what I put on like my first episode of What Matters with Alex Reads, the podcast. I was like, I was about trusting the process and I wrote it. I write a lot of things preempting the things that I'm going to need to look back on. And you know, when you look back on it, and you're like, I actually dragged myself because I wrote it and I was like, yeah, I believe this at this time. But then I read it again or listen to it again. I'm like, oh shit. Like I actually was talking to myself, my past present was talking to my future present.
Yeah.
To the present, and it was like, you know, it's a lot, and you have to trust it. And you know, and one thing before we move on with what I've learned is that look, you can make like your happiness and your decisions and stuff. You make it
absolutely
yourself. Like, you know what I mean, you can be angry all your life. And you can be whatever, you can be upset all your life, you can be disappointed, but you've got to basically, you got to look at it and think, look, I've got to do
take control.
I've got to take control of, and I've got to take responsibility and accountability for what I need to do.
Yes.
And if that works for you, then that works for you. You can't, you know what I mean? Like you can be considerate of everybody, but you can't put yourself on hold for everybody because ultimately everybody has to think about what they're doing and what their happiness is.
And that, like, I think that decision can be like really mental. It could be like a moment's thought when you're like, actually I've had enough. But then sometimes it can be very physical. Like I was telling Alex how, like, I remember in Feb I literally sat down with a pen and paper and been like, to be like, yo, no, I'm going to have a great year and I'm going to make it happen. I'm sad right now, but I can't be sad forever.
Yeah.
And because this is not me, it's not who I am. And I genuinely think I'm a very happy, cheerful person.
Yeah.
Like I just love happiness too much.
Yeah.
So to miss it, it's not my portion. It's not my spec. I don't respect it. No, it's not. Like, when people, like, honestly, like, when people bring me, like, stuff that is, I know, will, like, cause a sort of imbalance into my chi, honestly, like, these days, I'm like, thank you very much for bringing this to me. I appreciate it. However, it's not coming into my kingdom of peace.
Yeah.
It's not it.
Yeah.
So, we're going to take this outside.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important, like, because I was reading up on things and my therapist told me that I am a highly sensitive person and I need to just accept that.
I found that out as well the other day. I found that out myself. Therapist, listen, like,
she was like,
but it affects me a lot.
Yeah. I remember asking her, like, am I normal to feel this much? And she was like, yeah, because you are a highly sensitive person. And with that come certain things. Like, you don't like change a lot. Yeah. And you, even like when you get physical pain, is also much more intensified for you guys. I was like, whoa. So hear me, I'm going to get test done at TMI. I went to get my smear test. Tell me the girls were like, it's just mere discomfort. I was singing. I was screaming. No, I was literally like, whoa. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, it makes so much sense. And I think before I used to like suppress myself and I used to tell myself, oh, you know, you shouldn't feel this way. You shouldn't feel this way. You shouldn't feel it. Now it's like, let it all flow.
Yeah.
Let it all flow. Yeah.
And that's the thing. So like when I found out that, I was like, oh shit. Like, and then because I do get affected a lot by the sounds in the city, by a lot of different like stimuli.
Yeah.
I do like things to be mellow and the vibration to be kind of like, all right. But obviously that's different for everybody. But I have my kind of my own.
Because you can have vibration. Like a hat, because most highly sensitive people are like introverts, but you can also, but I think 40% of them are extroverts.
Yeah, the thing is, it's not even about, like, I remember reading something. It's like, it's not about extroversion or introversion. It's just about how you interact with external stimuli, like, and whatnot. So I damaged my wrist, Like, I think it was, I don't know what happened yet, but I think it was in the gym or something. And, like, my wrist has been aching. Like, everybody else would have been like, oh, man, just, like, you know, just build up the wrist of them. Me, I was like, my arm is aching. I can't turn the wheel of my car. I can't lift the pot. Like, I'm walking around.
Like, also
I'm
get like, caught,
very, dramatic.
Dramatic.
So I'm like, I'm not being dramatic. It hurts.
This is it. Oh, Ray, you're so dramatic. No, my friend.
You just feel pain differently.
Differently,
but, once I realised that, I was listening, I was reading a piece as a blog by this couple called Mark and Angel. And they wrote something about highly sensitive people.
Yeah.
And I just emailed Angel, like the wife, and I was like, I feel seen.
I feel seen, right?
I feel seen. And she was no worries.
Yeah, like, remember, I didn't know what it was until Shamar, my therapist, told me. Mm. And then we started talking about, like, okay, do you this? Do you feel this when this happens? Mm. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, is that normal? She goes, yeah, like, there are so many highly sensitive people, and that's fine. You just need to know how to manage it.
Mm.
But you can't suppress it. Mm. You can't tell yourself to not feel the way you feel, because literally, feelings are science. You cannot, like, let go of them because they'll manifest in very different ways. So you genuinely have to feel everything and be very honest.
Definitely.
And now I'm like, I'm very honest with my emotions. Like, I no longer want to be the bigger person in anything. Yeah. I even said the other day, I was like, I'm done with being the bigger person. Yeah. Not to say that I'm going to be now equally as petty, but I'm just going to be like, this is how I feel. And I'm not going to suppress it for peace.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's more peaceful for me to say what I need to say.
Yeah. And it's it's important. And like, this is just about not having to react to everything. Because I'm so perceptive. And like, I pick up on a lot of things and I see a lot of things and I'm like, and people, and I'm just like, all right, cool. Let me just take a step back from certain things. And, you know, and it's also making the difference between being anxious about something versus you not feeling good about something. Mm. They're two different things. You need that one, like, one operates on fear. The other operates just on your intuition. So you need to know differentiate what that is. Child, it's been a journey. So this year has been
amazing when you know this. I feel like post 25, it's been a real like...
And my Saturn return is happening. Everything's moving.
But it's great because it's like, honestly, I can be very real and say I didn't have as much self-awareness as I now have. And I used to think that I was very self-aware. Mm. And I knew who I was, but I didn't emotionally understand myself. Yeah. And I think knowing who you are based off of the things that you do, the people around you and where you fit is important, but it's very surface level.
Yeah.
I think emotionally, not even emotional intelligence, I guess, because that is very much about how you're interacting with other people, but emotional identity in terms of how do you identify emotionally as a human being.
Mm.
I had no fucking clue. Mm. I don't know. Mm. I'll just be happy, sad, or I just won't know. Like, I just didn't know. And I think for me, it started off with, weirdly enough, going to the gym, like understanding my body, understanding how I'm housed.
Oh, that's been helping.
Right?
Like, once I put myself into a routine for that.
Yeah, it's like small little changes and, oh, my body's different now. It's just understanding that. It's like, I eat this food. Before, I didn't know that if I have this food, this was my reaction, because that was just me.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's just me. But it's like, actually, I can't eat these things now because this is how it affects my body.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even understand that because I never sat down, because I was so busy in life, to just understand.
Yeah, you're occupying other spaces,
It's insane. Yeah. But it's I think, the wonderful thing. This is why when people say they reach 30 and everything's like, Yeah,
it's a Saturn return. It is a Saturn return.
Yeah, like I really.
Yours will start next year, so be aware of that.
Why, like?
Yeah,
is it going to get worse? I can't, because this year has been phenomenal.
I can't.
Only because of the growth. Like, the growth has been so exponential. I genuinely feel.
The thing is, it's not bad. The Saturn return is not a bad thing. It's an opening up of. Basically, it's when Saturn comes back to the same place that you were born in. And
it's Neo's album.
Neo's album is really good about that, actually. But it comes back to that place. And it's about kind of making the decisions that will kind of affect you in the next decade of your life, sort of thing. Like, you know, changing like friendships and relationships that will share, like careers, all that kind of stuff that's happened. And you're kind of making a shift into new.
So it starts
areas.
At 27?
Yeah, between 27 and 29. 0.5, they say, but like between 27 and 30, it kind of happens. That's why
it's already starting now.
This is what you see,
starting a new job, new environment.
That's what I mean. So a lot of things happen, and like I was looking at it, it's like there's no mistake why a lot of things that happened to me and around me up until this point has happened from the age of the end of 26 to 20, like middle of 27, because I'm just like oh shit, like
this is your Saturn return.
This is the Saturn return. And, you know, you're making decisions. You're changing the way that you see life. You're making a decision to say, this is the kind of the path I'm going to go down for the rest of it.
Yeah.
This is what I want to do here. And then a lot of people fight it. A lot of people don't. And that's why you'll see a lot of things change. A lot of people make decisions about their life. Like you can see like whether some people get married between the age of 27 and 30 when you see how people having kids by the age of 27 and 30 when they previously said they would never have it, or you know, they're changing careers, or they start to travel more, you know what I mean, things start to change because you make up what you want to see in your life, and then it just moves differently.
That's wild.
And the 20, like, and that's what I was thinking, like some people don't like astrology, but I look at it and I'm like, look, like I just like making connections with things, like whether people believe that or not. I'm just like, this is a weird connection, like with what's actually happening in my life at the moment.
It's exciting. I think next year is the first year in my life that I haven't planned anything. As in, I knew that I was going to qualify this year, blah, blah, blah. But this next year is like, I've accomplished my childhood dreams and now I have new dreams to set. And I think that is so exciting.
Yeah.
So we'll see where we are.
Yeah.
Next year.
All right, cool. What's been going on? So we've seen Toni Morrison passed away, I wouldn't say 2 weeks ago. And we just never got round to recording that weekend before we went to go out.
Alex messaged me. So I've been doing a mini series with the BBC. So Alex messaged me when I was at the BBC. What did you even say? You were like, oh my God.
Toni Morrison.
No, you sent me a voice note and I'm like, I can't listen to this.
Oh yeah.
And then I listened to it. I stepped outside to listen to it. And then she's like, oh my God, Rage. And I'm like, what's going on? And then I asked I don't know. And then I went on Twitter and I saw. And then I was like, what?
I was in tears. I was a mess, but like...
A titan.
Yeah, a titan. And I was just thinking, because you know it's one of them people, like, you just don't expect to ever die. It's like Maya Angelou, Dr. Maya Angelou. When she passed away, I think I was on the year I graduated from uni. Like, when she passed, I didn't expect her to pass. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'm going to meet these people. And when I meet these people, then they can do what they want with their life. But like, so when Toni Morrison died, first of all, I was like angry. I was like, how dare she go? Then I was like, wait a minute. Like, actually, when I think about, there was a point in third year, my final year of uni, where I started reading properly, and that was James Baldwin, that was Toni Morrison, that was Maya Angelou, that was all of those people. Started going deep into like what they've written and, you know, and all of that. And I was like, yeah. And it was, you know, when you start to think about, like, they've kind of started me on this reading journey.
Yeah.
They really kind of like said, look, here's the literature that we've written. Here's what we've written. Like, you want to write, you want to be a writer. This is all the stuff that we have done.
Yeah.
Do what you want with it. And like, here's the map. And I was like, so when she passed, I was like, oh my God, you don't expect her to go, but She was 88 or something, wasn't she? Or 83 or something.
Yeah, I think she lived a very full life.
She did live a full life.
She lived a spectacular like life of happiness, sadness, like the things that she went through as a kid, coming out of that, and the things that she produced for the world, like through so much childhood pain, she created so much beauty. And I think that is exceptional to like do that. And oh my God, the way she talks in interviews, oh my God.
It's that one scene when she's like,
guess it.
She's like, you will never understand the racism in that sentence that you just asked me.
The very
fact that you're asking me that question is the necessity of you're racist trope or something like that. I don't know. I was like, rah, she probably just went in the woman, because the woman's face was like,
she's like, yeah.
I'm getting red for filth.
Yeah, for filth.
And you know,
drag me.
Sometimes it's oblivious to these people.
Drag. But what I love is I want to reach that level of reading. That level of drag, that it's not even a drag, it's so calm and collected.
Yeah.
You don't need to raise your voice.
Do you know what it is?
That's how I want to tell my children off in this life.
Do you know what it is? It's not even about reading somebody. Because the thing is, like, for her, I think it's empathy. What it is that she,
really?
I think that's empathy. She understood, like, she's not blaming the reporter for making the comment. She's blaming the structures that have enabled this reporter to ask her that question.
But also, you know what I mean?
That was the report, like, you know, she's like, you will never understand what it means to be racist until the very fact that you're asking me that question.
She could have said that in a very different way. She could have been like, you don't understand, and you would never understand how racist that question is.
That's what I'm saying.
But she was like,
but to me, that's why it's empathy, because she's not attacking her. What she's doing, she's basically making her aware of the structure that she's come from. It's like when you do tell
personally,
off somebody.
That is how I would like to attack someone. That's why I'm like, I think it was so a full on attack.
All right.
It was World War V.
I'm not about attacking, but like I'm very much about making people aware of
why they're trash.
Ray really wants me to be out here like slating these people. But I'm like, no, I'm really about making people aware of like where that's coming from. And I like people making me aware of where that's coming from. And I think that's the best form of learning. You know what I mean? If someone comes up to you and they're misogynistic, but they don't understand what they're saying is misogynistic, and then you just like, and then you're not, there's no point for me.
But I think I'd have to get to that level of understanding that they don't understand.
That's what I mean. There's no
point. Because otherwise I'll just walk away.
Yeah, there's no point in them in, it's a patience that you need, but then it's also like, I do think it's empathy. Like, you'd be like, you will never understand what that means to be a woman, to be black, to be Muslim. And you will never get that. And you will never understand the fact that the question you asked me was misogynoir. And it's homophobic.
Misogynoir is phobic.
You know what I'm saying? But like, you know what I mean? So like, you know what I mean?
I get it.
Because there's no point in you being angry about it.
Yeah.
Because it's a system. You're angry, but there's no point in you being like enraged at this one person, because they're only going to ever meet you with anger again. Like, you know what I mean? Because nobody likes to be attacked, but people do like to be like, oh my God, that was really bad, but.
I know, but sometimes. Anyways, maybe I'm a bit.
If they meet, you know, the thing is, I mean, sense will tell you how to meet people.
Yeah, how to handle
things.
It.
Because
even
James Baldwin was very like.
Right, I think these people are just, they had a way of speaking that I really admire, and I think it's just like, oh,
yeah.
James Baldwin. Also, his interviews. Wow, what a man!
Yeah, yeah.
And I think what I'm going to do with Tony is, because I've read. What have I read?
Oh, yeah, what were some of the
Bluest Eye? I read. Oh, what's the magical fiction one?
Beloved.
I read at uni. Yeah,
you read Beloved.
Yeah, and then I'm halfway through Sula.
Okay, so obviously I read Song of Solomon.
Oh yeah, that's your favorite, isn't it?
I read that twice.
Yeah.
And
you gave me a quote from that. I loved it.
Oh, what was the quote again?
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Was it about flying?
I think so. There was the other one that I love about, I don't know where it's from, but it's about not falling in love, but rising in love.
Rising in it, yeah.
I was like, yes! Because in the moment I chose you, I made actually, because I feel like I made up my mind and I rose in love. Oh, good sis. Because nobody's out here falling.
Yeah.
For where?
Yeah. The thing is, it's like, it's just about, it's just the words. She is creating a new possibility, because obviously you get told that you're like, not told you're falling in love. Obviously there was a time when falling in love was a, oh my gosh, you mean falling in it. Like you're falling deep into this love. There's a time, but there's also, but the fact that she's kind of moved around and said, look, you're rising in it. That is something that
I saw.
It's just a different thing. And like, you know, she was good.
Yeah,
she was good, but like, I mean, R.I.P. so it was Song of Solomon was my favorite. I've got A Mercy that I would need to read.
I think I bought all of her stuff.
I gave away Home.
Yeah.
I've got Jazz somewhere got jazz in the corner.
Well, yeah.
I've got Jazz. Jazz was like, and the thing is, I can pinpoint exactly where I was when I read all of these.
Jazz.
Jazz is so good. Yeah. She writes it musically, like she created, like when you read it, and yeah, the storyline is quite musical. You can borrow it.
One thing. Oh, I've got it.
Oh, okay.
One thing that I love about her is she's a real... She's a real...
Like, she's a real one.
Like, you know people who just write, but to her, writing is a craft.
Mm.
And I think that's what... Like, obviously, I do find Toni Morrison really hard to get into. I've always said, like, you have to really grind to get into it. But I think the reason why that is because... She does. You don't just want to. I think maybe it's a bit laziness on our part, right? Mm. You enter a book and you just want to read it and get through it. You don't want to really put in that work, and you don't really want to appreciate the craft. Mm. You just want to read a story.
She's an intentional writer,
right? So with her, it's her words are very precise, and she will mix prose and poetry, and she'll do funky things with pages and lines, and she is a real, like, her craftsmanship when it comes to writing is surreal.
Mm.
And I think the hard part about us maybe sometimes finding it hard to get into it is because we have to work.
Yeah,
we have to put in that work when we're reading. Mm. And when you're having a very long day, that's just not what you're
into. It's not. And this is why I kind of favor the smaller books. Like, if you ever read Home is like, it's a, I would say it's a novella, but like, it's probably only like 250
pages. Jazz is a novella, isn't it?
I think Jazz is a full-on novel, I think.
I know
but,
that.
But like, Home is really
good. Sula's very small.
Yeah, Sula's not that big.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, rest in peace, Toni.
Man.
Even like, I was just thinking about, like, wanting to do the MFA, because the MFA, the Master in Fine Arts, because she did it.
Yeah.
I wanted to do the creative writing because I was looking at her. I was looking at exactly like, I was even thinking, I'm going to go to the uni that she teaches.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to just get to that one in Tribeca. Yeah. It's the one in Tribeca, New York. I think that's where it was. Whichever one that she was at, I was like, I want to be at that one.
Insane.
When I was researching it. And then I was just like, and then when she passed, all of that stuff came back to me. I was like, oh, wow.
It's insane. Yeah. Like, rest in peace, Toni Morrison.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace.
A queen amongst queens.
Yeah. But, okay.
It's a bit low.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I'm
a
bit like, oh.
Yeah. Anyway, what are you reading at the minute?
So, I'm reading a book that we will do as soon as I've finished reading it.
Mm-hmm.
A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. Alex has spoken about it very many times.
Mm.
And it follows the life of four friends, Malcolm, JB, Jude, and Willem. And I am 100 pages in, nearly 100 pages in.
It's on page 90, guys. She tried it.
Excuse me, that's 100 pages.
It's not. It's 90.
It's 91, actually.
Okay.
And the book is god like 720 pages, so I think I'm excited.
I can't wait because I can't wait to do the episode on this because it.
So everybody obviously has been telling me about how sad it is. Obviously, currently, I haven't seen a sad part. The only part that was a bit sad is there's one character who's like, I think, suicidal. Because they were trying to have a New Year's party and then just before it.
So the thing about it, I won't say too much.
It's very in-depth.
Yeah, I won't say the thing about
it. Really going through people's lives,
what Hanya does is that she lures you in with beautiful writing and description.
Her writing is phenomenal.
And description of like what it means to be in your 20s and then going to your 30s and then when you get there, your 40s, your 50s and all this stuff. And then she pulls you in and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing writing. Yeah. And then you're invested in the characters and you're like, oh shit, how did I get here?
I like Willem's story. He grew up in the farm and then he had a brother who had cerebral palsy or something.
Yeah.
And then his brother died, and then he was so angry with his parents because his parents had like lost a few other kids. Yeah. So I wasn't really angry with them. Yeah. So when I read that part, I was like, oh, that's a bit sad.
Yeah.
But I didn't cry.
That's his life. That's his little. Okay. Anyway.
So that's why I'm like, okay. So I feel like I know that. Like, in JB, obviously, his family are like, they're very invested in his life. And, you know, he's always going back home for food and he's getting his stuff washed and stuff like that. And I'm just like, okay, like what more can happen? Like, okay, so you're an artist. And then there's Malcolm, who like is rich, who's like mixed race and questioning the whole blackness. Oh, am I black? Am I not black?
He's questioning everything about himself.
Yeah. And then I think he's the one that came out, but then I think he's bi, because then he was like,
and then everyone laughed at him. They're like, sure you are. And he's like,
yeah. And then he like apparently is now dating. And then there's Jude, who's like the one that I've really been trying to get because everyone has been talking about him. And I think I'm going to be really triggered with Jude because just like reading Willem, who's like, who I think everybody has assigned to as to be like Jude's responsible for Jude in a way because they're living together. And there was a part when like he cut himself and then just went in and be like, take me to Andy's, who's like the doctor. Willem didn't want to ask many questions, and then it kind of went retrospectively saying something like, you know, and in the future he will turn back to this moment and think, oh, maybe if I would have asked him maybe it would have been preventative. So I'm like, oh shit, Jude's gonna die. Yeah, so I'm thinking like,
keep reading.
Maybe Jude's gonna die. And
you're doing too much. You're actually doing too much.
But then it's like that moment. It's like it just reminded me of like, how can you deal with, like, he's obviously dealing with a friend who's like mentally unstable, and he doesn't know what to do. He's not really equipped for it. He cares, but he doesn't sometimes know how to share it. And then it's like at the same time, it's affecting his mental health. And I was just reading that part, and I was like,
this is 90 pages.
This is 90 pages,
this is 90 pages. So I'm 790.
I know. Okay. So I was like, shit is really in-depth. How do I know so much about... And I think what she's so good at, moving the story forward.
Story building, yeah.
Like, she can just build a story. In one page, she's covered the past, the present, the future.
And you're like, how have I...
That's why I'm like, she is, and her writing is not flowery. It's not trying to be extra or poetic. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it's clear.
Clear.
But it's not journalistic.
And it's clear, but it's not.
Literary, but it's not flowery.
But it's not flowery.
It's direct, but it's not blunt.
Clinical, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just words. They're just there.
And it's actually wonderful.
Each line
makes sense.
Each line has a place.
Purpose. It's like Game of Thrones before season 8. It's like everything means something, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. So that's what you're reading. You're reading A Little Life. You're reading A Little Life.
I'm actually going to finish it.
I'm looking at my coffee now. I'm just thinking, I'm not picking that up again for a long time.
My friend read it and then she just ended up like, she was like, I'm not reading again. I'm just going to read dumb shit like magazines.
I was exhausted. Anyway, when you finish it, we'll do the episode. And there will be spoilers, people. So if you haven't read it,
just don't listen. Come again later.
You know what I mean? What am I reading at the minute?
What are you reading? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm reading some David Sedaris books.
Yeah.
He's an American broadcaster, essayist. I'm reading a lot of essays and a lot of essay things because I'm writing a lot of essays, but I wanted to just I like reading them because like personal essays and stuff, like people's lives, like clear, nice, little, gentle, like very interesting story building, storytelling, you know, great stuff. David Sedaris is amazing. I love him. Like, everything about his stories crack me up. Mm-hmm. He just writes in such a brutal honesty that I'm reading Barrel Fever, his first novel. No, his first selection of short stories and essays. And like, he's just, this honestly is just like, you know when someone writes the story and you kind of get where they're going with it, but you just want to follow along, with them just at some point. And it's so gentle. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's funny, a very, very comedic writer. Talking about, I think there was one essay it was talking about like smoking. And I'm thinking, like, why would you, like, you think to yourself on the surface an essay on smoking, but it's a very interesting essay. Yeah. It's like where he, it's like him giving up smoking, him starting to smoke, him like being around people who like don't smoke and all that stuff, and like him kind of like learning and what that means about space and what people like, and the things that people kind of impart on you, and the things, the way that you can affect other people by the habits that you have and all that stuff. It was, and the way he crafted it was very beautiful. Yeah. And like David Zadarius, that's what I'm reading at the minute.
Have you been out to see anything? Because I've been wiling with theatre. As in, I think I've been twice within the last week, three times within the last week.
We went to watch All the Shit I Can't Say to My Dad.
Yes, we've seen this all
by Abe Adeyemi.
Yeah.
Our good friend. Like, and it was performed by Chope Dirisu. It's at the Bunker Theatre in London Bridge.
Yeah.
And I just have to say, like,
the first thing that Alex said after the performance was, wow, drag me.
Listen, so it was a rehearsed reading. Yeah. And I just have to say, like, as part of, that's one of the best pieces of writing from any one of my peers that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, Abe is. He's a legend. Yeah, what can I say?
Yeah, he is a legend.
Yeah.
And I know he works hard for a lot of the stuff that he does, and he doesn't get enough rating for what he does. So guys, if you follow him, if you want to like check him out, like, go and follow him on Instagram and Twitter. Abe is legend. And he, you know what I mean? So this.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Play he's written, on my play, it follows AK, who is writing an album, and he's writing, you know, he's under pressure by the label to get the album out and whatnot. Yeah. But it's basically a letter to kind of like his dad and all the stuff that he couldn't say to him, articulating all the stuff he couldn't say to him. And, you know, like, there are certain instances where he can no longer say these things to his dad, and it just, it's about, you know, boys and men not being able to speak to men, and like the person that's supposed to love you unconditionally, the person that's there all the time for you, the person that, you know, that you probably live in like a majority of your time in that, in a home or not, but is in your quote unquote life. And sometimes they're not, and it's the question of absence, the question of being present but absent. You know what I mean? All that stuff. And how that affects, like, young boys.
Yeah.
And
It was really emotional.
It was really emotional. Funny, Chopé emotional, did so well amazing. With it. Like for some, like as it was a rehearsed reading.
Yeah.
Like amazing, amazing. And Chopé's great. Like I remember him in The Brother's Size.
Mm.
He was really good. Went to the theatre with him once to watch an opening or something. But it was really good. Like he's really cool.
Yeah.
And it was just nice to kind of see that. Just to kind of see that. And I love watching like this wave of like black writers and directors and actors are just coming together and putting on these performances. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah. The day before that, I went to see Barbershop Chronicles by Inua Alams. And amazing, because everybody has been raving about it. I missed it last year when...
We did a whole show. We did a whole show. Yeah.
No, as in...
We did an episode. Didn't
we did an episode, but we read it.
Yeah. I'd seen it before.
Yeah, and you had seen it before. Yeah. I hadn't seen it because I was in Zanzibar when we were meant to go, but finally saw it the day before yesterday, and funny, hilarious. They took me up. I went to, you know, in the beginning when they're dancing, I went there and I did the candy because now I can do the candy.
It's not.
Yeah, it's the electric slide. I know, but I call it the candy. I think you just leave me alone. It's called the candy.
Do you know what? As long as you know that, that's fine.
I know.
That.
Thank you. Remember when you guys tried to teach me? Do you know what the actual... Do you know how I actually learned? Just YouTube. By going out.
Oh, yeah.
No, not YouTube.
No, the thing is, that's...
Can you imagine? You just have to go out. But I wasn't. I wasn't going out.
You actually, literally just have to learn, like, when you're in the moment. And then people... Because people will always be like, all right, come, let's do it. They're never... There's never going to be like, sit down. Yeah. You don't know the thing.
So I remember the first couple of places, like parties I'd go to, I'd be like, looking like an idiot.
You got to try it. And then, you have to be willing to look like a fool as well.
Yeah. And then you finally get the hang of it. And now it just comes actually. I don't even think about
it. The Black National Dance.
Literally. But yeah, so I did that in the beginning. And it was amazing. There was one actor who was playing Winston.
Jimmy.
Oh my god, I fell in love, guys. I just want to do a call out there. If you're listening, or if you know the person that acted as Winston, I spoke to Inua afterwards. I was like, Inua, your friend, but obviously he didn't give me the deets. I guess, you know, GDPR.
I'm screaming.
He didn't give me the deets, GDPR, but it's cool. But if you're listening, Winston, I just want to make babies with you.
What's actually happening here? This is so haram.
Call me. I can send you my parents' details in Zanzibar. I'll be going there in a few weeks.
I'm finished.
Maybe we can make something happen.
You're an idiot.
But yeah, but before that, so obviously, like, I'm reading my theatre bag in my just going out and having the best time. I went to see possibly the best play. Best performance I've seen in theatre this year, and that is Tree. It's got Enoch, basically Wes from How to Get Away with Murder, and what's his face from Harry Potter? Dean Thomas from Harry Potter.
Yeah, Dean Thomas, yeah. Alfred Enoch.
Yeah, he was the lead in a show by Kwame and Idris Elba called Tree, and it's about a young mixed race guy who goes back to South Africa to reconnect with his his family, carrying the ashes of his dead mother back home, and also understanding that's definitely not sorry, Alex is trying to find Winston. That's not him, babes. His name is not Winston. That's the character that he plays.
Okay.
Cool. Don't worry. Oh, you thank you helping me find my husband. So yeah, he goes back to South Africa and he's trying to find also his other family members, like his father, who is black, and obviously it really touches on the tensions, the racial tensions within South African society, tackling their history and where they are now in their sort of national identity. And it was an immersive experience in that it was a show that had you standing. Characters will literally come next to you. Enoch literally spat in my face and mud was thrown at me. But it's one of those shows where it starts off like a rave. You're dancing. It was so immersive. Actors just take you onto the stage and pull you back in. It was phenomenal, to the point where I really want to go and see it again. As in, wow. I definitely... And also the soundtrack... I walked out and I was like, I need that soundtrack.
Mm.
I haven't seen such a performance that moved me so much. Obviously, I was crying my eyes out. It moved me so much, like how Hamilton moved me. Hamilton still reigned supreme.
Yeah.
but this is definitely right up there with Hamilton for me. So if somehow, I mean, I think it's going to end soon, if it already hasn't ended.
True.
Actually, my friend is going to see it today, so I probably think it's like the last.
Probably won't watch it. Yeah. But
if it comes back, watch it. And also, I really want to watch Death of a Salesman, which is coming back, actually.
Mm.
It's coming back in October, so I can't wait to see that.
Who wrote that again? Marilyn Monroe's husband.
Death of a Salesman?
Yeah.
Oh, Arthur Miller.
Yeah.
I think it might be Arthur Miller. Yeah.
Is he Marilyn Monroe's husband?
Yeah. He married her for a bit and then...
Yeah, I've got
got divorced.
The play's there somewhere.
And also, Inua has a new play out.
God of Rainfall? Nothing?
No, that's the book. I think it's something Sisters.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a play, but I don't know if it's out yet. The book is out. But he's got a new play out as well that I'm really excited to see. Yeah, I really am into theatre these days. I have just been like, I just want to be immersed in...
Yeah.
In just art and reading, and I'm back in my reading bag, I'm back in my theatre bag. Mm. It's beautiful stuff.
Nice.
So, yeah.
It's nice. Thing about theatre, it's like I get caught up in the dialogue and then I kind of tune out because I'm thinking about what's been said. Does that make any sense? Like even yesterday when we watched all this shit, I can't say to my dad.
Yeah.
He was saying stuff and I was like, okay, oh my God, wow. And then my mind went like this way.
Reflect on
and
that.
Then I came back in and it feels like you probably missed like 2 to 3 minutes of it. Yeah. But you probably only missed like 30 seconds of what you said. But then it's just like, oh my God, I'm lost. What's happening now?
You're thinking too much.
But like, I'm thinking about, because I'm following the words and then I'm like being taken by them. Yeah. Does that make any sense? So, and I get that a lot when I go to theatre, when I watched Julius Caesar. Did you watch Julius Caesar? Yeah. In the Bridge Theatre. That was hella interesting because we were all standing and that was interesting. But like I get caught up in everything else.
Mm.
Like, you know, with the background characters, the way they're looking and all that stuff rather than actually the mains.
I think I'm not the perfect theatre goer in that I truly immerse. I'm so immersed.
Yeah.
Like in that moment, I might as well be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will cry, and where they are shining the light, that's where I'll turn to. I'm not focusing on anything. Just show me where I need to look, what I need to do, who I need to listen to, when I need to cry, and I will do
it. But the thing is, I'm always looking at technical things.
Mm.
I'm always looking at technical things.
Ah, you need to
I'm looking at technical things because, like, I'm looking at what the actor's doing. I'm like, all right, so how is he thinking about this role? How is he interpreted this role?
What are you doing? You can't do that.
I'm going in because, like, okay, even with Shoppe yesterday, I was like, oh.
In the beginning, I was like that. That's what I like for the first 5 minutes. I think that's when you get a really good play is when that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I think for me, a good play is like when the first couple of minutes you're thinking about that stuff, because I'm always thinking, oh God, he's not going to remember his lines. I get really anxious.
No,
in the beginning.
It's not like, I don't, because I've seen plays. I saw John Boyega when he did Wojciech, and he stumbled on his lines.
Really?
And that was like the old Vic.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
When they stumble on lines, I notice it.
Yeah.
I always notice it and it always takes me out, but then I'm like, no, go back in.
Yeah, and it happens. Go back in. It happens. But I'm always looking at I don't know, I'm looking at the physicality of the actor. I'm looking at what they and how they're saying. I'm looking at their voice. I don't know. I get immersed in the actor's process itself. I'm just like, I see where we've decided to come up with. I don't know.
I'm inviting you to theatre. I'd be like, did you enjoy it? I was like, you'd be like, oh, that one light wasn't shining on the left hand side.
I was even questioning, like, there was a Ciroc bottle, and I was like, is it actually really Ciroc?
Oh my God, I saw that. I think of those things, but then I just turn them off.
Yeah,
I saw the Ciroc bottle, and I was like, it's probably water.
And I was thinking, okay, is it water? Could be.
And then he took it out, and I think he's gonna, like, he poured it on the floor.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's gonna clean that? Literally, I thought, who's gonna clean that?
Oh my God.
Someone might slip. And then I was like, nope, go back in.
But yeah, follow Abe, guys, and just listen and follow his journey. He's doing amazing stuff. Yeah. He's doing amazing. And head out to the theatre.
Yeah, theatre's great.
If you want to have a look.
If you have anything that you need me to see, just tell me and I'll see it and talk about it because I'm that bitch.
I
love me some theatre.
I'm 100% that bitch. Lizzo is amazing. I'm sorry.
So I found out that Lizzo is a lawyer.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Googling.
Like, honestly, apparently she used to work at this big American firm. Like, yeah. And then she left And then, so it's not on her wiki page, but I found out from like...
It's this, a lie.
No, the law community. And now she still hasn't apparently left her job at like this other, I think she's in-house now. Like she was a big shot associate. Yeah. A big shot associate at an American firm.
I'm screaming.
Trust me. And I told somebody, she's like, yeah, I know this. I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I love Lizzo. I think Lizzo's amazing.
But apparently she stole some black woman's line.
So, I think I don't Mina, know who it was. I think it was Mina Lioness.
Yeah.
I love Mina. Mina's great. Great singer.
What did she steal?
I think it was that phrase 100%. I'm 100% that bitch.
I know that she went to copyright or something.
And you know what I think, right? You know when we think about the way writing, you know when people put stuff out on Twitter, they put a lot, some people put a lot of quotes out, some people put like a lot of content, a lot of literary content, a lot of intuitive content, a lot of stuff that resonates with a lot of people. Once you put stuff out there, it's no longer yours. Twitter already has the rights to the content that you put out, and everybody has claim to it.
It's no longer yours, but no, it'll just a but good.
I know, just a good faith.
Good faith. Good faith. Yeah.
Good faith would say, I got this quote from this
exactly.
person.
Exactly. I think that was important.
And this person influenced me to write X, Y, and Z. Yeah. But how, how often does that happen? You know what I mean? Like, some people could.
In work, operating in good faith is very important.
Like, for example.
In the legal sector, anyway.
For example, like, somebody could say something on YouTube or and go viral.
Yeah.
And then somebody take that phrase and put it into their book or put it into their podcast or put it into their whatever or call their podcast that thing. And it's like, well, did you take it? Did you not take it? Like, it's not everything, because you can't copyright everything that you say.
It depends on how big you are. And I think that's where we talk about faith, right? Because if it was like some person who's like putting content out on YouTube, for instance, and incorporated that phrase, then surely, yeah, okay, cool. You're not that big. You don't owe anybody responsibility. But when you have that much influence and you are that successful in your music career, and you took somebody from, you took something from a very, you know, someone that isn't known in that career and globally like that, that's just... It's just bad faith.
Yeah, it is bad faith.
And it doesn't really speak well to character. It is bad faith.
But then also it's like, for me, I'm thinking, when things go viral, you probably don't know where they came from. For example,
if you
tweeted something and somebody retweeted that out and then somebody quote tweeted it and remember like, oh, do you remember with the whole Iggy Azalea stuff?
He doesn't.
You know Iggy Azalea stuff? He said, we said modeling. Yeah. And I tried to look for the origin of that tweet.
That
I don't know who said it, but people have... people said we need, you know what I mean?
And I didn't know the origins of Skinny Legend. Apparently it was Mariah. I was like, what? And then somebody had to like show me stuff from before.
That's what I'm saying, but like, and you don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
But then it could be somebody could repurpose it and put it out and they're like, oh my gosh, that banged at that moment. And then it's X, Y, and Z. So I'm thinking, or it could possibly have been that it arrived in front of Lizzo via somebody.
Via something.
Or via something that she saw in passing.
Yeah. If that's the case, or
her
then
friend,
sure.
You know, or even offline, her friend could have easily come to her and be like, you're 100% that bitch.
And she was like, ah! And it's
peak, and it's unfair on people that actually create these things and see their things misappropriated and whatnot. But you know, like,
the game is the game.
It's peak. But that's what I mean. Like, I look at it myself and think, like, as a writer, I don't necessarily want to have, I don't want to put everything on somewhere like Twitter because
people
will take that shit and run with it, or take it, remix it, and put it out there as their own. And that's not even their fault.
Yeah.
That's just the way the cookie crumbles.
I'm writing a novel and I haven't put a single bit of anything.
You're not going to.
Online. You know, because it's like, no, that's the content that I want to put in this book. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So
you actually have to. And it's just like, you sort of be very mindful of that. But I feel the pain. Yeah. I feel it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Lizzo's great. She is 100% that bitch, but also is the person that created the actual phrase.
That bitch as well.
You know what I mean? And she is 100%, like, and I know her. She is 100% that bitch. So
I actually want to listen to Lizzo. What does she... I don't literally have not listened to a single thing.
Man.
I have no clue.
I have to play some
songs. Where should I begin?
Let's see.
Because now I love Neo.
Now you love Neo?
Yeah.
I love Neo.
Really do adore you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was great. Next. I don't know where I would begin with Lizzo.
Okay, go to watch her Tiny Desk. What's on that? NPR. What's so basically, NPR? National Public Radio. But basically,
there's a radio called NPR.
In the US. US. Oh, so basically, but they do this thing called Tiny Desk where in their offices they hold like a mini concert with like their staff. And probably, I don't know
whether they're. Oh my God, they've done. Are those the people that did Megan? Did they do Megan Thee Stallion?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. But, that's my babes.
But Lizzo, yeah, she done one in there. Neo did one in there. Erykah Badu's done one. I think Anderson Paak's done one.
Megan has done one.
But like,
we'll see.
Yeah, I think that's, the Tiny Desks are really good because then they give you an insight into what, like, I mean, Lizzo's funny. She's funny with the stuff that she creates. Yeah, listen to Truth Hurts.
Every day, same titles.
No, but like it's a good song.
Truth Hurts,
Coconut Oil.
Pretty Hurts.
Coconut Oil.
Coconut Oil.
Yeah, even her older stuff. I listened to her before she was like, for some reason.
I'm sorry. Ooh, yeah,
Do you know what's annoying as well? Because
to her before she blew.
This is what, no, it's so true. Cool. It is true. Yeah. Okay. I listened, and same with LMA. I was like, look, yeah.
I actually listened to her when she blew. No. Like when her album dropped, I was like, let me listen to this girl.
Listen,
I love
her. I had
album.
Listened to Flipping Booed Up when it was on the EP and these little mixtape things that she was doing.
Everybody knew
and
Booed
I was
Up.
Like, and I was like, but oh. No, they knew Booed Up because the DJs pushed it in clubs. And then like, we were like, what's that song? And then it went viral. Then that's when people were like, oh,
then
yes,
she went
LMA.
To the States, no?
But she went to the States like, ages ago, yeah. though. She went to the States ages ago.
She was like, nah, these people aren't doing it.
Yeah, listening to all their songs, like Leia, like 10,000 Hours, all them songs. I was like, rah.
I
knew her before,
I
you guys.
I knew her before she
I knew
blew,
her before.
Guys.
With Lizzo, she did this thing called Coconut Oil. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh my God, she's got these amazing like songs. And then I didn't hear much from her. Then two twos. I'm seeing her on TV. Yeah. I'm seeing her on adverts. I'm like, what? Like, what happened?
Probably got a good manager.
Yeah.
Good agent.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, what happened?
Behind,
like
behind the scenes.
That promo just kind of went.
Blue. That deal that they must have gotten. Woo.
Yeah. Like, she just did it. Like.
My new fave, not new fave. Like, my spirit animal will always be Megan Thee Stallion. I was listening, we were on our way post the theatre production to Party Hard yesterday and we put her on in the car and I just love her. I fully love her vibe. She's literally like, I'm not here to disturb anybody. I'm here to have a great time. So let me have a great time. And that is the aesthetic that I'm giving to 2019. I'm not here to disturb anybody.
Nah,
I'm here to enjoy my life.
I'm not here to disturb.
Honestly, I'm here to enjoy my life.
You know what?
And this is it. This is the vibe that Megan has been giving me, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. You know what? Ari Lennox.
Who?
Ari Lennox.
All right. You told me to buy tickets to this babe. I'm like, who is this babe? Is she a whisper singer?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I've had enough.
She's like.
Or whisper singers.
She is.
Everybody trying to be Jhené Aiko here.
No, she's not. She's in her own right. Have you heard Shea Butter Baby? Shea Butter Baby. Bucking up my
Are they playing
pillow.
This in the club?
Yeah, they're playing BMO. They're playing Shea Butter. They're playing Whipped Cream.
In your 90s parties? They're or just, 80s parties that you go to?
Yeah, but they're playing. They're playing them.
Where?
In the clubs. They're playing them in clubs. There's three singles.
I go to birthday parties and they always play Afrobeats because that's
your,
what I listen to.
That's your aesthetic. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Everything else, you just have to tell me. Ray, download this and
I
will.
I said, listen to Ari Lennox's album.
All right, cool.
Listen to it. There's nothing else I can really. I'll play some after the recording, but there's nothing else I can really say. But listen to it.
Also, Stormzy and Maya Jama broke up. I know we're not trying to be, you know, gossip or. But that really.
Or Nana.
Oh, yeah, now, like, yeah.
Or four friends. It's like Stiff Chocolate broke up with. Shout out to Four Friends, man.
Amazing headlines. Amazing headlines. Like. Wow.
What would be a foreign's headline? Stiff Chocolate, fuck Boris. broke up with
East London. Five head.
Reporter, journalist, no, DJ.
DJ. DJ Mix.
DJ Mixer. No, so they broke up.
BBC DJ Mixer.
DJ Mixer. but yeah, no, like, I don't know. I think that. Bruv, I don't know, man.
Apparently, like, he cheated on her with Jorge Smith.
Georgia, not Jorge.
Jorge,
you're very rude.
I call her Jorge.
You're very disrespectful. That's very disrespectful.
I call her Jorge Smith. No, like, because really, why is your name spelt like that? Why? As in, give me a reason, Jorge. I wanna know the answers. Like, really, Jorge?
Oh my god!
No, like, her name is actually Jorge. It's like
Stormzy denies cheating on ex Maya Jama with his female friend Georgia Smith. Stormzy slams Georgia Smith cheating claims and Maya Jama split. Georgia Smith forgets Stormzy and Maya Jama with a song. Be honest.
What? I have no idea. But yeah,
the lives of other people.
Honestly, other people. I just thought I'd bring that up because I was like, oh, babe. But yeah, one of my group chats was talking about Jorge Smith and stuff, and
I didn't. Yeah,
she's not my like particularly. I'm not like
I enjoy her.
I watched her. I listened to her album, and it was alright, but it wasn't. It didn't move me.
That song with Burna Boy. I'm just a bit like,
people love it. I don't.
I don't understand it.
People really enjoy it. It's called Secrets, right?
I'll be honest.
Is it Be Honest?
I think it's called Be Honest.
I don't know. I think it's called Secrets.
Bruv, if I knew.
Anyways, but I don't like it. And I actually really enjoy Burna Boy's album because Burna Boy's the love of my life. Did I tell you I met his mother at Afro Nation? I literally met him in the VIP section. I was like,
why are you speaking to his mother?
Because I was like, hey, auntie.
You're so extra.
Oh yeah. I was like, hey, we had
a chat. Oh my God, you're so annoying, like, and extra.
Where are you from? I was like, oh, I'm from Zanzibar, Tanzania. Oh, you speak Swahili? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming to Nigeria for Christmas. She's like, oh, I wanted her to be like, oh yeah, like, can stay with me. But obviously she didn't.
You are a stranger.
Yeah, I know, but we
she's
had
not going to invite you to her house. So
it was great. We literally just sat and chat, and it was great.
I mean, like, just
we didn't stay. Okay, we stood, but still.
Oh, vibes. Vibes, innit? No.
But yeah, we did vibes.
She's a Gemini.
Is she?
Georgia.
When is she born?
She's coming just to skedaddle people's lives. That's why.
No, she's not.
Okay.
But anyways. Okay. Yeah. So that happened. Anyway.
No, she's not.
What? Wow.
Okay, but Georgia,
remember, your Mercury's in retrograde.
I don't even know what my Mercury's fine. We're out of that.
What does that mean?
I'm
when
free.
You're, can I just, like, what does it mean I'm when free. Your Mercury's in retrograde? I actually don't get it. Obviously, I take the piss out of it.
It depends on when.
What is the retrogression?
So basically, when Mercury's going around doing its thing around the Earth, it goes on a, when it's in retrograde, it goes on a backspin.
Does that mean everything is just mad?
It depends. Sometimes.
No, I'm ruled by the.
You're ruled by Mercury.
By Mercury. Yeah,
you and Virgo are ruled by Mercury.
So, what does it affect us more when Mercury's in retrograde?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell. This is why shit was happening. This is why.
Yeah. When Mercury's in retrograde, it's a thing. And that's why the Saturn return is a lot, because my sign's in Saturn.
So, your change is mad. Your decisions are going to be like.
Drastic.
They're going to be drastic.
I'm going to come like with 10 different piercings and blue hair. I'll be like, oh, this is where I'm at right now. I'm no longer Alex Reed. I'm A Rizzle.
Oh my God. So, you know, I literally the other day, it's so weird how you say this because I want a tattoo now.
Oh, so do I.
But then I'm like, that's mad haram. Anyway, let's move on.
That sounds like an issue for you and yours.
That seems like a personal problem.
Sounds like a problem for you and yours. Because I will be getting tattooed.
And I know exactly what I want. Okay. And like, every time I explain it to people, and at first they're like, what? And then I explain it and they're like, oh, that's really nice. And I was like, thank you.
But you can't get it.
I mean, we'll see.
Do you want entry into paradise? That is what you need to focus on.
Yes. Anyway,
I will enter with my. I'll be like, look at my.
Moving forward, Alex. Why? Alex is being such a mess on this episode today. Like, why is he looking at his bicep?
Because it's just popping out there.
I'm sorry. Are you really flexing for people that can't even see us right now?
Flexing for myself. And you just happen to be looking, okay? That's your own.
Flexing for people that can't even see us. Wow. That voice. Now they're going to be like, that bicep. That bicep. So this has been fun.
Oh, okay, so what are you watching?
Oh, yes. All right, it's going to be funny. So I went back and started rewatching The Vampire Diaries.
Oh my god.
From season one, and I absolutely love it. Back to being Team Damon. I thought I was Team Stefan, but actually no. I haven't watched this show since my teens.
Damon
and
is dark. I like the fact that Damon is like just...
But he's dark, but not, because his character growth within the first season alone was spectacular. And I know it's trash, but it's not, because I love it. Okay, so that's what I'm watching. I finally today, I'm actually gonna go home and watch the first episode of Fleabag, because I'm tired of white people talking about it and I have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Fleabag's supposed to be very good. I've got the box set on BBC iPlayer.
Also, I can watch it on BBC iPlayer.
Yeah. So okay, cool. I think seasons 1 to 3.
White people love it. And I'm really like, I have no clue what it's about.
I really want
to
watch it.
What is it about? Okay, I guess you haven't seen it, so you wouldn't know.
I haven't seen it.
But I'm just like, as I said, I have no clue what it's about. Everyone keeps
talking about it. Phoebe Waller-Bridge stars in it. That's what I know.
So it's just a white woman.
Listen, we'll watch it. We'll figure it out as we go. But
I'm going to finally watch that. And also, I've been watching films because of the... I've been guest hosting the BBC Radio 4 film programme. So watched...
Are they out yet? Are they pre-recorded?
Pre-recorded, but they're out. Like, they come out the next day.
Oh, okay.
I'm done now. So it was a 3-part series.
Oh, okay.
And the first one we looked at Quentin Tarantino. So it's called Where to Begin With, kind of taking somebody who's not a film critic, so me essentially, and alongside two film critics who kind of run me through the types of films. And then I have to watch one film and Bance. I have to watch one film and kind of come with my like layman's opinion of that film and what I think of it, as like a first timer person watching, even though I've seen some of the other films. It's just taking a look at a certain director. So the first one was Quentin Tarantino, and the second one was the films starring Tilda Swinton, watched Orlando, and the last one was Pedro Almodovar, a Spanish director. And I
Women
on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. It's very funny, so it's not, you know, any madness, but it's
usually quite a dark director there. So I'm thinking,
really? Pedro Almodovar. Somebody else was saying Almodovar, but it's actually Almodovar. It's the first word I ever pronounced correctly on the first time. And so I've been watching, like, you know, big films from after work, but I'm out of work now, so I can watch films free.
I mean, you're not out of work, you're on a break.
Yeah, but I'm still technically unemployed.
Anyway.
With just a job in sight. Guys, I have 6 weeks off.
It's a holiday.
I'm going to Zanzibar. I'm going to Bali, inshallah. And I have time by myself. And also, I have a mission. Finish a novel in 6 weeks. Alex has to hold me accountable.
What, to read?
No, finish to write.
Okay.
Yeah. Write a novel in 6 weeks.
Okay.
So you have to hold me accountable.
Yeah, man.
Because, yeah, when I start working, it's going to be mad. So
starting from September.
October.
No, then write it.
What's the day? What's the day after Carnival?
27th. Why don't you start? Why don't you start 1st of September? It's a Saturday. It makes it easier to then monitor the 6 weeks from the 1st to the middle of October.
But I personally don't want to do that.
It's up to you. Again, up to you. I like Volver for Pedro Almodovar. Anyway,
what are you watching?
I am watching. Oh, okay. I was going through my fantasy shit again. So I watched The Magicians.
Ooh.
That was on Amazon Prime. I think they got seasons 1 to 3 on Amazon Prime. I remember watching season one and then deciding that I wanted to watch.
Yeah.
We watched it again and then go through to season 2 and 3. It's annoying because there's 5 seasons and they only have seasons 1 to 3 on Amazon Prime, and I won't be watching it any other way. I'm like, I'll wait for it to come back because I can't be dealing with all this buffering and streaming and trying to find all these cookies and link. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. We legit out here.
I'm sorry.
I've watched bear things, actually.
It's illegal.
Let me go through. I watched The Magicians. Yes. Really good. It's basically a mashup of like Harry Potter, Narnia, Lord of the Rings.
What?
It's really weird. It's basically, there's this university called Breakbills in like...
This fantasy land.
In New York, no. New York. In like upstate New York. But it's a postgraduate school.
Right.
So they only take on postgrad students. So like all up until they are like 21, they are then in this place. Mm-hmm. So they have to do an entrance exam. They do the test and the test morphs itself to based on you, the person. And then they got to do a physical demonstration of magic. And stuff. It's quite dark. It's quite dark in places. It's quite humorous in places. Really good. It's on Amazon Prime. Watch it.
So I feel like, Alex, you're really in the wrong profession. You really should just work for Prime.
I should work for Amazon Prime. Prime.
Even though Amazon have mad, crazy HR issues. I know. But they're mad.
I wouldn't just work
there. Treat their employers wildly.
I wouldn't, yeah. Anyway, so Amazon Prime. So there's that. Then I watched Big Little Lies on Sky.
Right.
So that's seasons 1 to 2. Everybody moves mad in there. Love it. Do you know what it's about?
Somebody has loads of time.
I was killing these seasons. I think for me, I consume...
Is that the one where it's like Meryl Streep got everybody in it? I tried one episode, I put it back down.
I consume content, like TV content. I consume content a lot. Yeah, so I'm just oh my God. But again, it's the whole technical thing. I'm watching it for how it's written, what's there, what makes a good story, what builds a good story, how these characters are developed, etc. Big Little Lies stars Reese Witherspoon. It stars Nicole Kidman. It stars Alexander Skarsgård. It stars Meryl Streep's in the second season.
Yeah.
But brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
So it's just about suburban white women.
Suburban white women who move mad. Yeah, it's good.
Okay.
I think even...
I watched half of the first episode.
Zoe Kravitz is in it. Zoe Kravitz is in it. It's intense because I was like, ooh, like my sensitivities were like peaked.
Really?
Through this. I was like, ooh, this is a lot. But anyway, really good. Handmaid's Tale. I watched.
Right, should I watch it?
I've watched seasons 1 and 2.
I watched the first season up until she left the master's house.
July, whatever her name is, June, whatever you call her, she annoys me. She annoys me. Like this woman, like of all the people in this thing, everybody else is about this life. They're trying to leave Gilead. Yeah. She's out here like, no, I have to be a martyr. I'm like, you just go away. You have been given the ticket to leave to go to Canada so many times, but yet you want to do at the last minute to turn back. And I'm sorry, like, no, you pissed me off.
I'm gonna watch it.
Watch it. It's very intense. It made me think, like, there are so many countries that are actively going through this in particular ways. It made me realize, but I was looking at it and thinking, religion. When men interpret it in the way that they want it to be interpreted,
it's peak
for everybody. So I was like, you know what I mean, for those who haven't watched it, Gilead was formerly the United States is now Gilead.
Mm-hmm.
Gilead is a place in the Bible. In the Old Testament at the very beginning, handmaidens are like the lowest rank of women. Well, the second to lowest rank of women in the society that they're at, because they basically are sexual slaves for husbands and wives.
Yeah.
Because the husbands and with wives are quote unquote barren, but again, it's infertility issues. But they never question whether the man is sterile. They always say the woman is barren. So these men rape the handmaidens, and their wives are there holding these women. It's a mess.
And this
shit is in the Bible. So I'm a bit like, okay, Anyway, so there's that. Then watching that, watched that. I kind of put that on pause because it was a lot. There was a lot happening. What else was there that I watched?
So I heard to watch The Boys. You told me to watch The Boys. Have you finished it?
Yeah, of course.
Tell me it's not cancelled.
It's not cancelled. It's been renewed for a second season.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to watch that because like, my other friends was like, oh, you should watch it. And I was like, oh, I think I have, like, Alex.
It's very good when superheroes are celebrities.
Yeah.
And it's a dark comedy. It's a black comedy.
Yeah.
So I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah. It's actually quite, it is funny in places. Some bits that you think, should I be laughing? Okay.
Yeah.
But, really good. That's on Amazon Prime too. What else is there? Dear White People, season 3 is on Netflix. I enjoyed it.
I watched the first episode, put it down, I'll say no.
I enjoyed season three. Season three is a season three. Season three is a typical season three for any of those long-running seasonal, like, shows. You know, when you get to season three, it's like that middling bit where it's like, unless the storyline is strong here, there's not much we can do. What else? Okay, so that's Dear White People. Oh, yeah, and I'm watching Grimm again. Not again, but back in the day, I started it in 2011, and I think I watched the first season.
So every time I'm like, Alex, let's go out. This is what you're doing. This is what you're saying no for. This is what you're doing.
It's not even that. It's not even that. It's that, though.
Yeah.
But then I go, no, it's not. When I leave the house, I leave the house. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and that's kind of, and those are the things that I've been watching.
Well, guys, you've got all your recommendations.
They're really good. I just think people should watch good stuff, good quality things.
I just think people should watch good stuff.
Good stuff, good quality things. And these are just beautifully written things. I want to watch Euphoria next.
Oh, so do I. The trailer looks so
Zendaya,
good. Yeah.
And stuff. And I'm just enjoyment.
Nice.
Enjoying.
Solitary enjoyment.
Solitary.
The best way to enjoy.
Enjoyment.
You're such an idiot.
And I love watching Who Do You Think You Are as well. Mondays on BBC. That's great.
Like, oh, God, I can't.
I went to watch the Mo Gilligan show. The latest of Mo Gilligan.
What do you mean you went to watch it?
So, you know.
You were in the audience?
Yeah, I was in the audience.
Wow, you pagan.
Okay, so my cousin got tickets.
Okay, still a pagan.
I mean, I went. Anyway.
Did you enjoy it?
It was really good. So yeah. Mo is so funny. Like, he's a really funny guy. It's just really, it was dope to watch. Like, because obviously I want my own TV show one day. And I was looking at him, I was like, you're an inspiration. You two are Jamaican. Your name is Mosiah. I thought it was Mohammed.
Can you imagine? I thought it was
Mosiah.
Mohammed.
Mosiah.
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 Mad. I thought it was Mohammed as well.
Yes, I know.
I was like,
oh, not even that. Morris.
Islamic?
I would have put Morris. Morris or something. Mosiah. Okay, so, like, Mo Gilligan, like, it was an amazing production stuff. Like, very, very well produced. He's got the composers who are
amazing.
British band, yeah.
I love the composers.
Yeah, they're the house band for the show.
Oh, amazing. So,
and he really taps into, like, a lot of, like, UK kind of elements.
Yeah.
So I think he's got this game called Rhymes and Grimes. Do you remember, like, on the Jimmy Fallon show, you know, when, like, they do the thing and they got to sing a song in this voice, whatever.
Rhythm, yeah.
He kind of does that. And it's like, I think each week he changes the genre. So one week, Jessie J was on it one week, and it was like R&B. One week it was like garage, one week it was like hip hop. You know what I mean? Like, and he does it. And then, like, you know, he's high energy. It's really good. And the thing is, it's not even that.
Do they give you like cards to be like, now laugh?
No. But the thing is, like, obviously they got the director there that'll be like, guys, we're going to need to do the applauses again. Yeah. We're going to come. So 3, 2, 1, clap, clap, clap. And you're like, whatever. But Mo's like, he's really in tune with the audience. Like, he's very mindful of the team that he has around him. He's very like, you know, he's very much like, guys, there might be people here that you don't know. There might be people here that you do know, but I please give them the same energy and respect that you would give the one that you do know. You know, like, he's just really trying. He's like, you know, I want to get it to season two. I want to do another series of this. So, guys, just please, just show as much support as you can. Blah, 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 blah. So, he's like, it's great. Like, and I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, any announcements?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
London Podcast Festival.
Yeah, we're
going to
be at London Podcast Festival in a few weeks now.
September the 12th.
September the 12th, 7:30.
It's very important that you get your tickets.
Yeah, yeah. The tickets will be in the description. We'll tweet them out.
We'll have an announcement.
Yeah.
There, so it's very important. Conversations.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
And this is like the live, as we've said, this is the live show to come to.
To come to, yeah.
If you've missed out one before, this is the one that you should change plans for.
Make sure that you rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your auntie, tell your grandma, tell all those people here that tell your grandma. She might not like what we say. She might not like what we talk about, but tell your friends.
Tell your grandma.
Tell your cool auntie.
Maybe she wants to, you know about what the young people are doing these days.
Tell your hip auntie, the one that acts like Erykah Badu.
You know, I feel
one,
like you need to tell your boring auntie so she needs to get a life. I feel like that's the auntie that actually needs this show.
But yeah, so there's that. Check out my podcast, What Matters with Alex Reads. Coming to you every Wednesday. I don't know what else there is to mention. If you see me in the street, past me.
Wait, this would have been out after Carnival. So if you saw Alex and he was acting a fool,
you don't know me.
Please email in and tell me what he was doing.
Or my name. Okay.
Yeah.
Just
if you see me, just don't say nothing.
Don't. Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
We all have one life to live.
Absolutely.
And everybody will be getting on bad. So there's that.
No further ado.
With no further ado, we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.